Today's episode is brought to you by Amio. Amio is a travel booking platform that makes planning a journey in Europe and North America effortless. Just enter your travel details and Amio will magically give you all the train, bus, flight, and ferry options for your journey. It's never been simpler to book your first real vacation for 2021. Best of all, using Amio saves you time and money. That's a win-win in our books. Amio wants to help you leave your house this summer by offering 5% off your next booking. Just head to Amio.com, that's O-M-I-O.com, and use code Amio5, that's O-M-I-O and the number 5 at checkout. Valid until July 31st for new users on all modes of transport. It's just the pick-me-up 2021 needs. And now to the episode.
This is the Outmap F1 Podcast, featuring America's own John, James, Andy, and Deanna. Your one-stop shop for Formula One news, insights, race previews, and reviews. Join us on the Outlap.
Welcome to Season 3, Episode 29 of the Outlap F1 Podcast. It's our British Grand Prix race preview. I'm Andy. And we have podcast at full strength. Look at that. We actually have all four of us. It's James, it's John, and Deanna. Folks, how are we doing this lovely Wednesday evening?
Well, it's raining in North Carolina again, so seems to be a trend these days with a little bit of monsooning again. But other than that, I'm pretty good.
I'm being harassed by a giant fly.
Better than a giant rat. I mean, you are in New York.
Yeah, well, I guess that's next, but I'll take the fly at this point, I guess.
I have no complaints, Andy. I'm just happy to be here.
That's a first.
Right, very good. Just as a reminder before we dive into it tonight, you can find our show on Twitter, Instagram, Discord, Reddit, and now on YouTube at Outlap F1 Podcast. We are thrilled to be in all those different places. You can email our show at chatnow@outlapf1.com. Check out our beautiful website, www.outlapf1.com. Deanna and Relapped has a new episode that dropped today. It's the 1981. Deanna, tell us about it. There we go. Not 2021.
1981 Spanish Grand Prix. I'm finally back to the 1981 season. So, yeah, really, I'm only doing now, I just decided to do a couple races from each season, but this is one of the ones that I would have done anyway. It just happens to be the next one up. So, yeah, really good race all around. So please go check that out.
Very, very cool. Very good. Just as a reminder, you can please catch our Sabre Cook interviews. That is Season 2, Episode 2, and Season 3, Episode 21. And you will be able to find Sabre on the track this weekend at Silverstone. So good luck to her. Hope she has a bit better results than she had in Austria, but we're pulling for her, and I'm sure she will do awesome. So just to hop into a little bit of news before we hop into our normal preview, came out this morning, lots of breaking stuff, but none of the really stuff that people are watching. George Russell watch, no updates yet, even though that there's lots of memes out there that saying he signed on my F1 2021 career mode, or he signed on going for secure next last year. George Russell is still a Williams driver. No movement on that. We'll watch out for it. And if anything breaks, we'll bring it to you. But news that actually did break, Alfa Romeo has signed an extension with the Sauber organization to remain in F1. It's a multi-year deal. Nice to see that name, some stability for Alfa Romeo Sauber.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's good brand awareness. I think it's, you know, it looks better on track than Sauber, in my opinion. We need more high-end brands in the sport. Hopefully that's a thing to come.
And it gave Frederick Vasseur some optimism towards their chances at getting the 2022 regs, correct? So it gives them any more money to play with and get a better product on the track. I'm all for it.
Yeah, and I think they just kind of talked about maybe switching, I think it's Fiat's, Maserati or something like that. So I think it was always going to kind of stay in that family, but good to see Alpha sticking around.
I wouldn't mind a Maserati. Yeah. We have too much white and red on the grid right now, so we should mix that up a little bit. But yeah.
Well, it's also because the white and red is also because I think it's owned by a Polish, or the Orlin sponsorship is mainly from Poland.
Yeah.
So
that's that true. Drives so might a lot say of anyways. It too. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Good point.
So we have new Pirelli rear spec tires on the cards for Silverstone. These were the tires that were trialed last race out in Austria. Since we know Silverstone is a tire-destroying track, as was the case last year when the race winner won on three tires. So what do we think about new compounds for Silverstone with Pirelli?
I mean, it seems like the drivers are fine with it. Nobody had any major complaints about them. I just think it kind of goes back to Baku being like, oh, there was nothing wrong. It's the team's fault. But then we're coming back with new tires. So I don't know about that one. But
new tires and I think new mandated PSI settings as well. So, yeah, but nothing to do with Baku at all.
No, that had nothing to do with it. Perish the thought. James, any thoughts on it? Or
like Deanna said, the lack of complaints is definitely a good sign. Typically, any kind of little change like this, you'll hear at least a few people complaining a bunch about it. So to not hear too much bad has me feeling pretty good. And kind of like you said, Andy, I mean, bad things don't happen to tires at Silverstone, so it should be fine no matter what.
Yeah, hot weather, relatively new tarmac. Yeah, what could go wrong? So, next story on our little docket, Lawrence Stroll says Aston Martin is still approximately 4 to 5 years away from the title fight. I think that probably is realistic. I mean, you normally have seen a lot of these teams put out these five-year plans. They're probably in realistically year one. They're getting their new, I think, wind tunnel up and running either this year or early next year. So makes sense that at least he's being realistic. What are we thinking about that?
I mean, do you guys think that this is just like his way of setting expectations low and hopefully delivering high? Because with the new regs, you know, you would think it would level the playing field and everyone, you know, if the regs do what they say they're supposed to do, everyone should have an equal chance of winning a championship. You would think that a well-funded team such as Aston Martin would have, you know, an equal chance to come out strong in 2022. I know that Lawrence said that they're massively outgrowing all their facilities. They brought in temporary buildings and stuff to try to house things. Obviously, they've got more people than they know what to do with at this point. So obviously, there's that has to be taken into. But I mean, is you guys think he's just kind of playing soft here?
Well, Daddy Stroll doesn't strike me as the kind of guy that would set expectations low in anything he does. So I don't know if it's just a matter of him now trying to play that game with the other teams. Maybe he's got a big old slice of humble pie after this season hasn't quite gone the way he expected. But to say 4 or 5 years, I think is a little far out for what Aston Martin's been building towards these last couple of years.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a hopefully under promise over deliver type thing. But they've been poaching people left and right recently, and I think they're going to make some other announcement this week. So maybe that's kind of they're getting a new team in place and kind of expect that to. Or reap the benefits of that in the next kind of 4 to 5 years.
I think what James is trying to say is that Sebastian Vettel will be the 2023 world champion.
Yeah. Really got to stop smoking crack, John.
What are you talking about?
PSA for the night. Don't smoke crack. So the next story is one it's just an icky story, but we do have to talk about it. Lando Norris was in attendance at the final of the Euro 2020s, where England lost in penalty kicks. Although it technically was called a draw, James will have a separate rant about that in another episode. However, while leaving the facilities, he was assaulted and robbed. I don't know if there were weapons involved. No one is necessarily talking about it, but his custom watch from McLaren was stolen basically right off of his wrist. I think it was him and one of his Twitch partners were the ones basically getting assaulted on Sunday. He's fine. He's come out on Instagram and he's indicated that he's unhurt, but he was obviously shaken, trying to get himself in the proper mindset for the weekend. Just an icky story. I mean, just of seeing the difference between just the match itself and then some of the images on Twitter that came out were like 5,000 people got into the stadium without tickets, and they were basically, you know, rushing the ticket counters and you know, turning over barriers and everything. It was just not a well-handled situation. So kind of a black eye, I think, for UEFA and a black eye for, you know, unfortunately, English football fans.
Yeah, the match itself was quite entertaining, but yeah, I mean, it's just difficult. Everyone that seems close to him, you know, has said that he seems to be in good spirits and, you know, he's acting like his normal self. But, you know, if you've ever been involved in any kind of situation, you know, like similar to that, I mean, that's not something that's just going to go away anytime soon from a mental standpoint. So, I mean, these guys are the best in the world and they, you know, they do know how to kind of turn things off and turn on the race brain probably better than anyone else on the planet. But even still, we're talking about guys that can, you know, after a fatality can turn it off, you know, thinking back to Spa and things like that. So I know they can do it, but, you know, this is another one of those things. It's just, you know, hopefully he comes out and has a hell of a good showing. Hopefully the British crowd, you know, it really shows up high for him and makes him feel welcome at home again. And, you know, he has a strong showing on Sunday.
Any other thoughts, or have we?
Just happy he's okay.
Yeah.
I'm glad he's okay. Personally, I kind of thought the watch was ugly, so I wouldn't miss it that much.
Aren't you a McLaren guy, too?
Maybe I'm alone in that.
You're wearing your Ferrari shirt tonight.
I am, but I don't know. That kind of watch just doesn't do it for me. I don't know.
I mean, it's not an Apple Watch. I mean, you know, it's a step down from there, clearly, you know, but what can you do?
Yeah. He'll be all right.
So story that will actually come out tomorrow, even though we pretty much have a good idea about what it's already going to look like. The first full-scale model of a 2022 F1 car is set to be revealed tomorrow. I think it's at 1400 UTC. So go ahead and do your time conversions. I think it's 9 a.m. Central, at least according to YouTube, when I clicked on the link. So, yeah, I mean, we'll obviously tweet out the images and stuff as we see them. But I'm thinking this is going to look like a lot like that leaked car that sort of also kind of sort of came out a couple weeks ago and we already talked about it. So any new thoughts or any new perspectives on this, or are we just going to sit back and see if it's a different color?
I just got really excited because when I first saw the announcement, I thought we were getting like the 2025 engine regs. But I was a little disappointed when I found out it's probably just the same picture we've already seen. So we'll see.
It does look good, though. There's always that, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I'm sure it'll be a little more stylized and looking cooler for it not to be a leaked photo. So that'll be interesting to see. Maybe it'll be in like a Mercedes livery and George Russell will be sitting in it and be like, oh my God, are you signed?
I mean, if it's anything like the was it Sean Bold designs? I think he and several others do all this design work on Twitter. But I mean, seeing the McLaren, the Mercedes, the Ferraris, you know, in that 2022 car, I mean, they all look, even the Williams looks incredible. So even the Haas looks incredible.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, difficult to do. So, yeah, I'm excited for it. Hopefully it looks as good on track as it does in pictures, but we should be in good hands. We should have a lot to talk about in the show for the long foreseeable future.
Hopefully,
yeah,
this
I mean,
doesn't.
I'm hoping that. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, hopefully this doesn't have all of the technical issues that all of the other recent F1 car launch type things have had.
Yeah, I mean, my personal hope is that it works as much on track as it's lauded to off the track. So, you know, if it works and people can follow and we don't need gimmicks like DRS, you know, after maybe a year or two, we can phase that stuff out, get back to actual proper battles, and we can actually have defense again, defense and overtaking in the same sentence. What a concept.
This came up today in the Discord channel. It is confirmed, right? We are still getting DRS, at least for 22, right? That's the last plan I heard.
That's my understanding, so, yes.
Hopefully we don't need it. Hopefully it's just we get a little bit too much overtaking. Wouldn't that be a thing? And we can cut it out. It'll be interesting to see how the rear wing works with this new design, the way it's shaped and everything. And I'm also curious how it'll change or if it'll change much between like a high downforce track and like a Monza. You know, if they'll go with a skinny wheel or a skinny rear wing. I'm curious how that'll look when we get to that point. Maybe we'll get some more details, you know, in future months as the time goes on.
Yep. So we are going to go ahead and we will drop our green flag and we are going to get into the Silverstone track facts. They come from Pirelli Motorsport. James, tell us about Silverstone.
All right, so Silverstone, located in Northamptonshire, will be seeing 52 laps for the regular race, I think 17 for the sprint race, which we'll get to. Track length of 5.891 kilometers, and the track stats are as follows. You have tire stress and lateral grip both at 5 out of 5, asphalt grip and asphalt abrasion both at 3 out of 5, downforce looking at a 4 out of 5, and for some of our records, I will hand it off to Deanna.
Okay, so our qualifying lap record is a 124.303, and our race lap record was set by Max Verstappen last year, and it was a 127.097. At the circuit, the drivers with the most wins on the current grid in second is Vettel and Alonso.
Alonso.
Tied on two.
The new Italian name.
To one. And then number one with the most wins is Lewis Hamilton with 7 at home. So on the for the constructors, overall with the most wins in third is Williams with 10. In second is McLaren with 14. And in first is Ferrari with 16.
I'm glad Deanna does the editing for the video because we could just blur James completely out of this whole segment right now.
Can we lose another one? Great.
So what is the circuit like? So at the 2018 British Grand Prix, Lewis Hamilton compared a flat-out lap around Silverstone to flying a fighter jet, which should tell you all you need to know about the Northamptonshire circuit. Despite numerous layout changes over the years, Silverstone has always maintained its essential character as one of the fastest tracks on the F1 calendars. While historic corners like Maggots, Beckett's, Abbey, Club, and others provide some of the biggest challenges for racing drivers anywhere in the world. What I personally like about it is the turns yield very well to moves and counter moves. So you can dive bomb somebody into one corner, but you got to quickly switch back for another corner and cover. And sometimes a move isn't necessarily done, but there should be good opportunities for overtaking at this track. Current weather forecast, I am sorry to say, the good news is if you're going to the track, you're going to love this. If you're like us and you want some rain, maybe not. Practice / the qualifying day, that's Friday, generally sunny, despite a few afternoon clouds, very warm, high of 78 degrees, winds north at 5 to 10 miles per hour, only a 10% chance of rain. For the sprint race, we are expecting generally sunny and warm conditions, high around 80 degrees, winds north-northeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour, a 12% chance of rain. And for the main race on Sunday, a mainly sunny sky, very warm, high of 83, winds light and variable with a 10% chance of rain. So the track that likes to eat tires is probably primed to do such that this weekend. Okay, folks. Any thoughts on any of that?
Dry as usual.
All right. So we will take a quick break and come on back and we will get into, we'll explain a little bit how this weekend is going to work because it's a bit different. And then we will get into our predictions, which are also a bit different.
Support for the Outlap F1 podcast is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Big news, everyone. Manscaped has just released their new cologne scent to help you feel good and smell good all over and all the time. Manscaped has been trusted by over 2 million men worldwide, so join the movement now for all your below-the-waist grooming needs. We already know that Manscaped has the perfect package 3.0 for all your grooming needs, but they didn't stop there. Complete your grooming game with a new refined cologne signature scent by Manscaped. The same signature scent that's in all the Manscaped formulas, this cologne is a perfect complement to your collection. It's light, approachable, and gentlemanly-like in all the right ways. Think of it as your roommate for the night on the town to keep you fresh and ready for anything. It's calming and inviting. This signature scent introduces a light citrus burst before settling in for an incredible woodsy and masculine finish. This 50 milliliter spray cologne is even hypoallergenic, cruelty-free, dye-free, paraben-free, and 100% vegan. It even comes in a beautifully designed glass bottle that makes a statement, and the manly scent sets the mood for any occasion. I've been personally using this product for about a month, though, and let me tell you, it smells incredible, and my significant other has certainly been enjoying it as well. Right now, our listeners of the Outlap F1 podcast can get 20% off plus free shipping by using the code OUTLAP. That's OUTLAP, one word, at manscaped.com. 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com.
All right, welcome back to Season 3, Episode 29 of the Outlap F1 Podcast. It's our British Grand Prix race preview, and we have some very, very interesting and different qualifying rules and sprint race rules. James has been digging through articles left and right all day today, getting up to speed on it. So tell us about what we can expect for this weekend.
Yeah, so a little bit of a different look, as we're all used to here, but so Friday is going to start off, as usual, with an FP1. It'll be an hour long, so nothing's really changed there. I'd say biggest difference, Parc Fermé will then be set after FP1 on that Friday, because also on Friday we'll be qualifying, which is obviously a huge change for all of us, not something we're used to there. Big change in qualifying is that your tire choice in Q2 is no longer, assuming you make it to the Q3, is no longer the tire you have to start on in the actual full race. So that's a little bit different there. And it's going to happen right about noon in the Central Time Zone, 1 o'clock on the Eastern Time Zone, which most Americans are working around that time, so that kind of sucks. But I know they made it at night.
But maybe you can, duck into a bar for lunch.
Break, yeah. Hell yeah. Take a late lunch. Yeah. Good.
All you got to do is get F1 TV and you just watch it on your phone at work. That hard.
let's be honest. I'm sure we all do that. Anyways, so... Sorry, boss.
I don't work on Friday, so I don't really mind it. But I know I'm in the minority there, so I'm not going to rub it in.
Rub it
in. that's not my.
Not
way
trying to rub it in, but here you guys, I'll be watching it on my couch with a beer in my hand.
All right. So then, that qualifying, there will be no pole winner from that qualifying anymore. It'll just be setting the grid for the sprint race. That'll come on Saturday. So that qualifying sets that up. But now we move on to Saturday morning, and we have FP2, which again is an hour long. So typical FP2 there, but it's probably more of a warm-up session now. I'm sure there'll be some data getting gathered as well. But then that'll lead us into the sprint race, which is what the whole weekend is based around now, or that, at least the new parts of the weekend is based around the F1 sprint race. That, like I mentioned earlier, is going to be 17 laps around Silverstone. They're expecting to take about 25 to 30 minutes. They're not expecting a pit stop. I guess some teams might want to roll the dice and try a soft or, two softs and really push it. But they're kind of hoping that they can go the maximum speed the whole way, not having to worry too much about tires, which is good for some drivers. Might take advantage away from some drivers like Checo Perez. So that'll be interesting to watch. I'd have to assume a lot of them are going to go with the softs, but you never know. Some might go with the mediums. I think Pirelli is expecting the softs to fall off those last couple laps. But the winner of that race will actually be awarded points, as well as being known as the pole winner for this year's British Grand Prix. So the winner will get 3 points. Second place will get 2 points. And then third place will get 1 point towards the Drivers and Constructors Championship. So that's a big change as well. There are more points available this weekend. And then we move into Sunday, and that is your normal distance Grand Prix. Nothing new there, except, all the drivers, even the ones in the top 10, have a free choice of their tire. So could see some interesting things there. But I think it was Deanna that mentioned a couple times now that there's a concern that it's going to be 100 kilometers Saturday, a 24-hour red flag, and then the last 200 kilometers on Sunday. But I don't know. I'm going to throw it to you guys now. Is that a concern, or do you think we're actually going to get a little bit of excitement like F1's wanting here?
So I kind of decided when this was announced, I would reserve judgment until after we saw the first one. I think right now, yes, that's how I feel. I don't know. Maybe that's a good thing. I mean, we've all seemed to enjoy all the races that have had red flags. But I think just kind of in principle, that's what it seems like to me. So I think some people think it might dilute the race. Like Hamilton said, it was be a procession. I think Massey came out and said no. Like, I think the drivers are going to go for it. So we'll see who's right on Saturday.
I mean, I like the way that they marketed it. Was like, hey, if you like those last two laps at Baku, we're going to try it again and actually try to see if we can make that happen again. So if it's like that and it's chaotic and somebody's out of place at the end of it, then I think it would be a success and it would work. If it is just – 17 laps and the fastest guys are the fastest and the slowest guys are the slowest. Well, okay. If nothing, the worst thing is, congratulations, you set the grid you thought you were going to get anyway. So, you know, you're still going to have a full 300 kilometers on Sunday. You're still going to have all the normal race buildup on Sunday. I think that's where the meat of the show is. But again, I also want to see it. Let's try it out. Let's see what works. Let's see if it doesn't work. Then we don't have to see it all that much more often. We got two more shots at it, and then, you know, they'll kick it to the bin.
Yeah, I mean, I'm personally pretty excited about it. You know, to Deanna's point, this may be an epic fail, and it may just be nothing. You know, obviously we'll get two more of these. I think it was Ross Brawn that came out. I think it was this week that said he wants to, potentially if this goes well, he wants to have up to six of these in a season and have them be like, classic races, or, you know, make it more of a, I don't know what word he used for, but I'm thinking like
NASCAR. I know
NASCAR.
Nothing about tennis, but it, he called
Grand one, Slam
compared them to Grand Slams. Okay, yes,
that's what I was looking for. Thank you.
I don't know what or how or why, but okay.
Yeah, I think like in my NASCAR days, I'm thinking like Daytona 500 or Indy 500. You know, like these are. I'm thinking he wants these six races, if that happens to be the case, to be, you know, epic races at a really classic track, something like that. But yeah, I mean, I feel like, to your point, Andy, the worst that happens is we just get the same chalk that we normally get. But I feel like, you know, if you're like a Perez, a Stroll, someone like that, maybe Alonso, someone that's got showing to have decent racecraft but doesn't always qualify well, potentially this could be your shot, 17 laps, you know, to get up there. And, you know, it's not just a one-shot kind of deal or a two-shot deal, you know, in Q3. So I like that you might have some things shake up. And who knows, we may get some contact, we may get some drama. I mean, you could easily have a title contender or a top five team get some contact and end up starting from the rear. I think it brings a lot of variables to play, which I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, I actually watched a video, I think it was last night or the night before, from Chain Bear kind of breaking down the whole weekend. And he did a good job of actually getting me pretty excited about it. I like the fact that each of the 3 days there's going to be something exciting. Typically, on a Friday, we get FP1, FP2, which would excite F1 junkies like ourselves. But for a more casual fan, now there's a reason to tune in each of the 3 days, whether it be for regular qualifying, sprint qualifying, and now the race day. So I think that's good for F1. I think it'll draw more people in on each of the days. I think it's going to be interesting to see Parc Fermé being after FP1, because now you have to have your car set up not just for qualifying, but also a sprint race, and then also the actual race. So I think there'd be some strategy in there to only have two 60-minute sessions to shake the car down and figure out your setup and everything. I think that's going to put some pressure on the teams. So I think they're condensing things, and it's going to add some pressure to the teams and potentially make things a lot more exciting come Sunday, which is also an exciting thought, because most of the Sundays this year have been really exciting and fun to watch. So if this could add to it at all, I'm all here for it. So I'm being super optimistic about it right now. I hope some of this stuff rings true. Six a year, that seems like a lot right now, but if it works out, then hell yeah.
Yeah. I think right now the biggest proponent has to be Liberty. I mean, if you have a big quali on Friday, sprint race on Saturday, race on Sunday, I'm sure they can make a boatload more money through sponsorship. Oh, yeah. So I think they're really hoping this one works out for sure.
TV, ticket sales, concessions, parking.
Yep, all that.
You know, advertising.
Well, and you know, they want more American fans in, as do we. And, you know, Americans may or may not have short attention spans. And a 25, 30-minute race, people are going to watch that.
Yep. I mean, if Formula E has proved that. I mean, Formula E does 45 minutes in a lap, and that gets at least the fans that I mean, Deanna was just there last week. So, I mean, it keeps your attention. Am I right or am I wrong?
Yeah. And I mean, but I feel like, I don't know. I wasn't a big fan of the FIA just being like, oh, this is because mostly like young people just don't have the attention span for it. I think if you create an exciting enough product for whatever length of time, that's fine. I think this is mostly trying to get around F1's problem of sometimes the races are dull. I mean, that's, I think, to a casual viewer. So maybe if you condense that into the sprint race format, it'll make the whole package a little bit more exciting. I think that's kind of somewhat, I think, less so attention span, more so just a product of the actual cars themselves, which maybe we get to 2022 and this isn't even a problem. Maybe the whole 2 hours every single time out is somewhat exciting, because I think if you spread Formula E out into a 2-hour race with how close those cars are, that's still pretty exciting. I mean, it's fine. It's 45 minutes. It's quick. It's fun. It's nice. But I think that's mostly because the cars are so close, less so the time that makes the difference.
Yeah. I mean, from attention standpoint, I mean, maybe we're the exception and not the norm, but I mean, you know, you give me a 24-hour race at Daytona or Le Mans or, a long race at 12 hours at Sebring or something like that. I mean, I could sit there and I've done many of 22 out of 24-hour races, and crashed for an hour and drink some coffee. So if the product's good and we've had some, we get weather, we get some shakeup and drama, I mean, hell yeah, it doesn't matter how long it is. I'll watch it. So again, I might not be the norm on that. But yeah, I think if the product's good, people will tune in. Now, yeah, I don't want these 6-hour races like NASCAR has.
But they're not trying to get you, John. They've got you hook, line, and sinker. I think this is just a way, and especially if they expand it, and it's not going to be every race every year, hopefully never, but just to have a few of these, is just draw some people in, and it's like, hey, check out our full product too. That is exciting, hopefully more so with the 2022 regs, but it's just got to be something to try and grab some attention, get more people in for that initial like excitement. And then it's like, hey, we actually do this for longer too. Check it out tomorrow. Check it out next weekend, whatever. So they've got all us hooked, clearly.
That's true.
It's not us they're worried about. You know, it's these other people Deanna's age.
Well, and I would also tell you, this is going to, I mean, just looking at it, even from without seeing it yet, it's going to be better than the last time they tinkered with qualifying with that elimination thing, which was just god awful. So, yeah. And that we knew was going to be a disaster, and we were all just sitting back and watching, okay, here comes the clown show. This is not going to be that. Like I said, the worst thing that happens is we get a ho-hum procession for 17 laps. We know who's fast, we know who's slow, and hey, we get a grid, but it's a way to set the grid.
I mean, I will say the one other thing, because we find red flags so exciting, mostly it's because we get a standing start, and that is always the most exciting bit of a race. So we're getting that twice a weekend. So
guaranteed,
that's always hands down the most exciting bit, and they're just multiplying that. So how bad can be?
With all the shakeup and scheduling, where do we see the other two happening this year?
Monza, and it might be Coda at this point.
I'm wondering.
I don't think they'll be in Brazil.
Monza for sure.
I would not complain about.
If they can't get anywhere else other than Coda to be able to host the race, that part of the calendar, it very well could be there.
Yeah, it was supposed to be Brazil.
I mean, right now it's slated for Brazil, but that race, I cannot see that race certainly happening in front of fans. No. If it happens.
And why have a sprint race if you can't have fans? Again, going back to the old dollar bill.
Defeats the purpose of it.
It would not break my heart, Liberty, if you're listening to this, if you want to go ahead and throw that at Coda. I think I would more than be happy to oblige you with that. And you already have my money, so I'll be there. I'll be riding with Andy's $900 rental car, but...
it's not the race tickets that are the problem. No, it's all the other costs.
We've initially spent more money
existing down on there for
the rental car than we did flights and hotel and everything else involved. So, yeah. But
$900 for a used Geo Metro. I can't wait.
Oh, you know, I wonder if
it ain't gonna be a used James. It ain't gonna be a used Geo Metro. I ordered the adrenaline package.
Yes,
we're gonna go in and I'm gonna spend that kind of money. We're gonna go in and style.
Love it.
I got you covered.
Love nice. It. We got VIP parking.
Got you covered.
So get me up close. Maybe do a little burnout.
Yeah.
There we go, Andy. I'm with you, buddy. I'm with you.
Just don't let me or John drive. We don't want to get towed again.
Yeah, please don't.
And that's the part of the country with the 85 mile an hour speed.
There we go.
So right foot to the floor.
Very nice. Yeah, looking forward to it. But yeah, Coda. I think it's a great idea. I like where you're thinking, Deanna.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't mind seeing that live.
Yeah.
I feel like I can really give a judgment at that point, so I really need to see it.
Yeah, I feel like for the sake of the show, Liberty should throw us a bone here and...
They're really targeting American fans, so you might as well do it in America.
Can't get more American than us.
True.
I mean,
hey, you know, you could all get woken up by your favorite F1 driver on Sunday. You know, if you check out the Miami Grand Prix, there actually is a promotion where like you could get like woken up by Max Verstappen 2 hours before the race time. So check that out if you are so inclined.
I also might have more
only
in Miami.
For US because I've apparently if you're in Canada or Mexico, they're not doing it. So it's also kind of weird. But that's how commercial agreements sometimes go. So for our predictions, as obviously this race weekend format is extremely different, our predictions also have to be a little bit different. So we will start with the traditional qualifying fastest driver and time, not the pole sitter and time. So James, we will start with you, as I'm not allowed to pick on John for the first time. So why don't you throw out your qualifying fastest lap and driver.
All right. So I'm going to go with Max Verstappen and time 124.401.
All right. Very good. Deanna, let's have your fastest time and driver.
First, because I don't think I complained about it yet, and this is my only complaint I have going into the sprint race, is that they're making the actual sprint race be pole when it's not consistent over the entire history of F1 that has been fastest over one lap, and that just kind of irks me. But anyway, okay, sorry. Max, for normal, what I'm still believe is pole. And I'm going to go for a 124.52.
All right, John, now you're up. What you got?
All right, so I'm going to... I will go with a Max, although I really want to go Hamilton, but I'll go with Max. I'm going to go with a 125.101.
Well, I will make it a clean sweep for Mr. Verstappen because I think it's his until somebody comes and takes it from him. Lap time, I'm a little bit close to you, John, but I'm not too far off. 125.008. So for the sprint race, we are actually just going to pick, we're going to do 1 point each for each of the podium drivers as they are awarded points, 3, 2, and 1 for that race. So Deanna, let's start with you for this one. Who do you have for your sprint race podium?
I'm going to go Verstappen and say Mercedes does better this weekend and go Hamilton Bottas.
James, what you got for sprint race podium?
I'm right there with Deanna. Max, Lewis, Bottas. I think the sprint race isn't Checo's bread and butter. He's not going to be able to really flex his tire saving skills here. So I like the Max Lewis Bottas.
I will go Max Lewis Checo because I actually think just the arrow on the Red Bull is still superior until I see otherwise. So that's what I'll go with for that. John? What you got?
I guess I'll follow suit with James, Indiana. I'll go with the Max Lewis Bottas as well. Going full chalk here. 2021 style.
So turning now to the traditional race, our traditional race predictions. Last year's podium was Hamilton, Verstappen, and one Charles Leclerc. So for race podium... John, let's start with you for this one. What you got for your race podium?
I'm going to mix it up a little bit. No chalk on the race. I'm going to go with a Hamilton because supposedly they have an upgrade. Supposedly. Yeah, I know. I'm doing the same look. I know. I don't know if I believe it, but supposedly they have an upgrade. Hamilton going for eighth at this track, followed by Verstappen, followed by a making a recovery and a, giving a big old FU to whoever stole his watch, a Lando Norris.
Deanna, what you got for your race podium?
I apparently am super high on my Mercedes today. We're going to go Lewis gets another one at home.
There you go.
Max Bottas.
All right.
James, what you got?
All right, for my podium, I'm going Max, Lewis, Checo.
So I'm going to go Lewis, Max, Bottas, because if it's not going to happen for Mercedes here, it ain't going to happen really anywhere. So basically now, for the sake of the championship, we need this to kind of happen.
Agreed.
You know, because we want to watch this thing go to the end. So, yeah, if it's not going to happen here for Mercedes, I don't see where it's going to happen. So Max Lewis Bottas for me. So for fastest lap and driver, James, let's start with you. What you got?
All right, for fastest lap, I've got Mr. Bottas. He's going to snag that with a late pit stop, and he's going to do it in a minute 28.111.
Deanna, what you got for fastest lap and driver?
I'm going to go for Checo, and I'm going to go with a 128 flat.
John?
I'm going to go with a max and a 127.897.
I will also go max for fastest driver, and my lap time will be a 127.904.
Andy's
is that
pretty
Andy Price's writing?
Writing me, yeah, on both. He's like,
I had that on my super secret sheet.
And he's like, long before. I'm not that close. I mean, I'm only like 0.03 of a second off of you, but I'm not that close.
Has Andy picked last in every one?
He has picked last, and it's convenient when you're moderating.
Super secret.
I was
going to
say, you guys give me the power of the moderator. I don't know why you guys do that.
Investigation.
Act manfully, Andy.
Yep. It's time to launch an investigation into this. It's getting a little shady over here.
So, for bonus picks, it's actually my honor, as I was tied for last place last time
not
out.
Me.
So I am going with, it's not the end of this week. It's me. I'm going with P6, P7, and P9, just for fun. So I guess I will lead off with this one, so I cannot be accused of any malfeasance here. I will go P6, Daniel Ricciardo, P7, Charles Leclerc, and P9, Fernando Alonso.
Mm-hmm.
Deanna, what you got for bonus?
I'm going to go P6, Carlos Sainz, P7, Charles Leclerc, and P9, Sebastian Vettel.
Okay. James, what you got?
I've got 6, Charles Leclerc, 7, Sainz, and 9, Danny Ric.
John, what you got for your
And
bonus?
I've got a 6, I got Carlos Sainz, 7, Danny Ric, and a 9, Lance Stroll. Deanna and I are thinking at least an Aston in P9.
Yeah. It all sounds plausible. They all sound really plausible. So our prop bet for this week will be, since it's our first sprint race, how many people will not finish that sprint race? So it's only 17 laps. Who isn't going to complete it, or how many will not complete that? James, we'll start with you on this one. What you got for DNFs in the sprint, if any?
Mazepin's not going to finish this race, so I'm just going to go with one.
All right. Deanna, what's your thoughts on DNFs in the sprint race?
2.
John?
I could see all those being plausible. I'm going to go with 0. I'm going to hope that maybe there's a little caution. Maybe.
0 for John.
I don't want to repeat anybody. I guess I will go super aggressive and say 3.
Wow.
I mean, super aggressive would be like 19, Andy, but.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think everybody's going to be really hard on themselves and trying really hard not to.
Andy's legit Price is Right and one of you guys as well. I don't.
Again.
Again. Price is Right in it.
Andy's always calling people out for Price is Righting, but look at him today.
Pot calling the kettle black.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Wouldn't it be weird though? Obviously, it'd have to be a really weird sprint race. But if George Russell got his first points, for,
I was thinking about that.
Sprint race.
I was thinking that. I'm like, what would have to? And then I'm like, oh, it would have to be. It would need to be like 16. DNFs basically for that probably to
happen. You'd have to have some sort of a safety car or a red flag in the sprint to almost make that happen. But, you know, hey, anything is possible.
Oh, yeah, safety car would suck in the sprint race, now that I think about it. That would be like,
I'm going to bet if there's an incident, Massey's going to be very, very easy with that red flag.
I would hope so. But then it's like, now you're making it way longer than the 25, 30 minutes.
Yeah, that's the thing. I haven't seen this confirmed, but I thought I read somewhere that there was a time limit on this.
An hour.
So, full an hour? Okay, so then maybe we've got more time than I thought, so.
Yeah, I mean, an hour to do a third of the distance is probably more than enough. I mean, how many times do you really get up against the 2 hour limit for a full race distance? Singapore, once every couple of years, if ever, even that.
Yeah. So.
But I don't know if, like, plus a red flag, what the total race time would be, because it's 4 hours for a normal race. So I don't know if that's clock, 1 hour.
That clock continues because it's for race day, it's 2 hours in a 4 hour window. I wonder if this is 1 hour in like a 2 hour window.
Yeah.
Could be.
Type deal. So
good point.
Yeah. I mean, and it's a long track. I was going to say it's a long track too. So I mean, if you have a safety car for just some debris or something like that, I mean, you should be able to get it cleaned up pretty quickly. I just hope we don't have hopefully we don't end the race, you know, under a safety car. That would kind of suck.
They would pull what they did in Baku. I don't think they would do that.
Yeah. I think they will try everything to get.
Yeah.
And then we'll get three standing starts.
Finishing under race conditions whenever they can.
Yeah.
So just to clue everybody into the session times, as they are very, very different from the norm. British Grand Prix is always usually to a beat of its own drummer. This is no exception to that. Practice one kicks off at 8:30 a.m. Central. So 9:30 on the East Coast, 7:30 in the mountains, 6:30 a.m. on the West Coast. Qualifying for the sprint race. 1 p.m. Eastern, 12 p.m. Central. Like I said, go get your lunch in a bar if you have to work. Hopefully your job allows you to do something like that. Practice 2 will kick off 6 a.m. Central, so 7 a.m. Eastern, 5 a.m. in the mountains, and 4 a.m. on the West Coast. The sprint race itself kicks off 11:30 a.m. Eastern, 10:30 a.m. Central, 9:30 in the mountains, and 8:30 a.m. on the West Coast here. And the race kicks off probably the closest thing to a normal time, 9 a.m. Central, 10 a.m. on the East, 8 a.m. in the mountains, and 7 a.m. bright and early on the West Coast. James.
Just real quick, if anybody out there listening happens to know of a job that's cool with you going to a bar and watching Formula One during your workday, let me know and I'll apply.
Me too.
I'll take a massive wage decrease to take that job.
If you're able to do it and go back to work.
Yeah.
No alcohol being consumed, of course.
Hey, if you're in New York, I hear alcohol at lunch is a normal thing. So
that's if I get a lunch. You
never see me in a bar, Andy.
All right. So that's kind of it. We hope you guys enjoy this interesting new formatted race weekend. I hope it goes off. I hope it's exciting. That's what I'm going into it with the mindset of. And if it sucks, then, hey, we all get to complain about it Sunday night. So tune in for the reaction Sunday or Monday morning. We will record it Sunday night. So for James, Deanna, and John, it's been Andy. Super fun bringing this to you. And as always, may all your laps be fast.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Outlap F1 Podcast. If you like what you heard, click that subscribe button and be sure to leave us a 5-star review. If you want to connect with us outside of the show, check out our website at www.outlapf1.com. Find us on Twitter and Instagram at Outlap F1 Podcast or email us at chatnow@outlapf1.com. As always, thank you so much for your support and we'll see you on the next one.